Nathan Fraser Show, episode number 100. The EU continues its attack on small business. All right, here we go.
Mixing business with politics. This is the Nathan Fraser Show.
What is up, Free Market Squad, in the place to be? It's your boy, Nathan Fraser, High Priest of Propaganda. Thank you for taking a half hour out of your week to hang with me. Today, we're going to be talking about the EU, the European Union, and what seems like, what seems to be an ongoing attack on small business. So we're going to be talking about a couple of different things today. First of all, everybody already knows about the GDPR and how that has affected small businesses and big businesses alike. A couple of weeks back, everybody was freaking out about the GDPR. We're going to talk about that. I'm also going to be bringing up some things, some laws in the European Union that maybe people aren't as familiar with as the GDPR and how they affect small business. So I'm going to start off by talking about something actually known as the European Advertising Standards Alliance. Now, what this is a set of rules for marketing and for advertising that that govern gender in advertising. They govern what you're allowed to put in your marketing regarding gender. So some of the things that they don't allow is some of the things that have been attacked under the European Advertising Standards Alliance is little boys being marketed towards when it comes to things like pickup trucks or Tonka trucks or traditionally boy toys. The same thing, another commercial was attacked because it had a little girl playing as a ballerina. They said that this is enforcing gender stereotypes and it would not be allowed under the European Advertising Standards Alliance. Because showing little boys, if you've got trucks and you're selling little toy trucks, selling them to little boys is sexist and it's oppressive and it's enforcing stereotypical gender norms, and therefore it's not allowed under the European Advertising Standards Alliance. Now, here's the deal. When you're a marketer, when you're an advertiser, when you're a copywriter, one of the things that you have to do is you have to know who your market is. You have to sit down and you have to say, okay, who's my market? What's their demographic? What's their psyche? What makes them tick? What makes them do the things that they do? Part of that includes when you're trying to sit down and nail down your avatar, part of that includes their gender. Part of that includes their political beliefs. Part of that includes their income. Part of that includes their lifestyle choices. You have to know these things about the person that you're going after, about the person you're advertising to, and that plays a role in how you advertise. So if you sell ballerina shoes, you have to know that the majority of the people that buy your shoes are going to be female. The majority of ballerinas are female. Does that mean all ballerinas are female? Absolutely not. But as an advertiser, as a marketer, you have to know and you have to take into account the fact that most of your demographic are going to be females. And so that takes part in your advertising. That becomes a major role in your advertising. And if you're advertising ballerina shoes and you know that the majority of the demographic that you're going after, you know that your avatar is a 12-year-old girl who's dealing with excess homework and part of her escape is to go dance. And you know that that she is your ideal target avatar, then in your advertising, that's who you're going to have reflect your ideal customer. You're going to have a 12-year-old girl dealing with frustrations of homework and social anxiety and showing how great of an escape being able to do ballerina-ism, the ballet. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the ballet. I don't know all the terminology, but the fact of the matter is if that's who you're going after, that's who you need to portray in your advertising. Yet this European Advertising Standards Alliance says that that's not okay. You're not allowed to specifically target females for your show. So what that means is what that does. Oh, and I'm sure this is selectively enforced, and they only enforce it when they want to go after certain people, like most rules. But what that means is they make it incredibly difficult for people to actually advertise effectively in the European Union and in Europe in general. And so, and I think this actually originated out of Britain. So, it's very anti-advertising. It's very anti-profit. And it seems like, and this will come up a couple of more times throughout this discussion, but it seems like the European Union is very anti-business in general. It's very leftist. It's very, there's a lot of socialist leanings there. And so it doesn't really surprise me that they have these oppressive rules against advertisers, against marketers, against small and large businesses as well. The other thing we're going to talk about today, we're going to be talking about the GDPR. I call this the gross domestic product reducer. The GDPR went into effect about 2 weeks ago as of the time of this recording, and it's a huge deal on small businesses. What it is, it's supposed to protect the privacy rights of people on the internet, but it does it in a rather draconian way. It makes it to where building your email list is incredibly difficult now because they have to go through like 15 different, and that's an exaggeration, but like three different opt-ins in order to actually, or three different verifications before they can actually opt into your email list, which I'm not against that. It makes it more difficult for small businesses to grow their email list. Me personally, I only want people that really want to be on my email list anyway. So I don't really have a problem with that. But it does make it harder for small businesses to compete. Being GDPR compliant means you have to have a whole bunch of extra features added into your website now. One of the things that they require is that you have to get approval from people to be cookied. A cookie is basically a thing that's on your website that pops up in the user's browser that tells your website that this user has been here before. In order to get agreement to be cookied, you have to cookie them. In order to have them say they don't want to be cookied, they're trying to work on some ways around this, but you basically have to cookie people to remember that they didn't want to be cookied. It's a ridiculous thing. Another aspect of the GDPR that's really, really crazy is the database, the right to be forgotten, that people have the right to be erased from your database. The problem is, and if you don't run a website, you probably don't really know this. If you don't run a database for your customers, you probably don't know how complicated this is. But databases need to be backed up. Databases, when you back them up, they have to be compressed. In order to compress and have a backup database, it requires a lot of extra server room. If somebody wants to be taken out of your database, that means you have to go in. You have to not only go into your active database, but you also have to go into your backup databases. And a lot of times, a lot of businesses, it's smart to have more than just one backup database. Well, in order to take somebody out of your backup database, that means you have to uncompress, which is a nightmare in itself, and then remove them. Hope that removing that part of the file doesn't screw with other parts of the file, which it possibly could. The whole thing is a logistics nightmare. We've been talking with our team over at Podcast Blastoff about how we're going to be able to comply with this. And basically, without having four different backup servers running, which makes it financially unfeasible for us to continue running the business, it's almost impossible for us to comply with this particular aspect of the GDPR. And we're not the only small business in this situation. A lot, even big businesses, even businesses like Facebook and Google have already been hit because they're finding it impossible to comply with the GDPR regulations. And the thing about it is, here's the real kicker about it. The reason that the European Union is saying that they want these regulations is because they're saying they care about your privacy. If you're on the internet, you have the right to have your privacy respected. government saying that they care about your privacy on the internet is just a joke. These are the same people that listen to every single phone call that you're making. These are the same people that track and monitor every single text message that you send. These are the same people that are collecting huge databases on every single action that you take on the internet. You look at the NSA and the CIA and their giant spying apparatuses. You look at the same thing with MI5 and MI6. And you look at these people that are vagrantly violating your privacy every single second of the day, and they're saying they need to pass these GDPR rules to help protect your privacy. These people don't give a fuck about your privacy. So this whole idea that the point of the GDPR is to help you protect your online privacy is complete and utter bullshit. I can't even come up with a good analogy for it other than the fact that it's the biggest violators of your privacy creating rules to regulate small businesses, saying that they're doing it in order to help protect your privacy. It's completely and utterly ridiculous, and I don't buy it for a single minute. So GDPR is crazy. European advertising standards are crazy. The European Advertising Standards Alliance is crazy. Article 13, and this one takes the cake. This is something that's supposed to be voted on in the next couple of days. Article 13 is a new copyright law that's trying to be implemented in the European Union right now. And basically what it does is it makes any kind of copyright violation completely illegal. It imposes crazy fines on anybody that uses any kind of copywritten material. And there's a couple of different aspects to this. So number one, it almost, and I almost want to say it completely, makes memes illegal, which is crazy because that's going to change the way the internet works. So many YouTube videos have mimetic aspects to them. So much of Facebook, so much of YouTube, of Twitter, of social media in general, is based off of memes. You go through your Facebook timeline, you go through your Instagram timeline, there's tons of memes there. Article 13 makes memes illegal. You're not allowed to take a screenshot of a TV show or a screenshot of something that happened in the news or a screenshot of something that is popular media and make your own version of it. And that's basically what memes are. They take something that's popular in popular culture and they add some sort of twist to it. Well, that becomes illegal under Article 13. And here's the thing. If you're somebody like me, you're somebody who follows memetics, you follow the great meme war of 2016, 2017, ongoing into 2018. Culture is very dependent upon memes, and that is an aspect of free speech that is under attack by Article 13. Memes are so powerful that it could be argued that they helped Donald Trump win the presidency in 2016. Memes had a huge part to play in the downfall of Hillary Clinton in 2016. Memes are an important aspect of I hate to say the culture war, but culture in general. Memes are a huge aspect of culture. Not only though, does Article 13 attack memes, it also attacks any fair use type of stuff on YouTube. A lot of people, their entire YouTube channels are based off of uploading content and making commentary on it. They take a clip from the news and then they add their commentary to it. They take an advertisement and they add their commentary to it. They take a video game and they do a walkthrough, or they do those videos, this super popular videos on YouTube where you're basically watching people play their video games and talk shit to each other. This is a huge part of where media has gone over the last decade or so, and it's threatened. It's under attack by this new Article 13 in the European Union. And here's the deal. You might say you might not be in the European Union. You might not live over there, and you say, well, I'm not too worried about that. A couple of things. Number one, the GDPR the European Union is saying they have the right to enforce that globally. They're not being restricted to just their jurisdiction. They've gone after Google. They've gone after Facebook. I wouldn't imagine it being too long before they start going after other businesses outside of their jurisdiction. The European Advertising Standards Alliance, they haven't yet gone after anybody outside of the European Union on that, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't start very soon. This Article 13, it hasn't been implemented yet, so they haven't obviously applied it to anybody, but I wouldn't be surprised if they start going after people outside of the European Union for that. And then here's the other thing. Here's the real killer about Article 13. No, there's a couple of things. Number one, forced filtering. They're going to require that all websites that operate within the European Union that have the ability to upload, the users have the ability to upload. That means YouTube. That means Facebook. That means Twitter. That means Instagram. That means our business, Podcast Blastoff. Our users have the ability to upload podcasts. They're going to force you to put filtering algorithms, bots, basically, that filter content as it comes in, searching for copywritten material. It's preposterous. The amount of computing power that would be required to scan every single piece of content that gets uploaded to a website by all of its users. Think about YouTube. Think about Facebook. Think about how much stuff is uploaded to them. Think about the variety of different stuff. Images, text, video, audio, all of that stuff has to go. Now these companies, if you want to run an online business and you allow people to upload stuff to your website, comments sections, if you have a comment section, you're going to have things in play that monitor your comment sections for images and then run those images through some kind of crazy giant database that checks it against every single piece of copywritten material that's ever been created. Audio, visual, video, text, everything, and then checks to see. Can you imagine the computing power that's going to be necessary to do that? That's unreasonable to put on the average small business owner with a small website for their business out there. That's completely unreasonable. The only people that are going to be able to comply with this, if they're even able to comply with this, are the giant mega tech corporations that they're saying that these laws are there to protect us from. And they're basically making it, I'll get into this in a second, but they're basically, through these regulations, making it to where those are the only businesses that are able to compete. So it's crazy to me. The other thing is sharing links will now be illegal. Linking to a news article that you're critiquing, linking to another business's website will now be illegal under the Article 13, this new European Union copyright law. What's that going to mean for SEO? What's that going to mean for businesses that are building their business based off of content? A huge part of every business's SEO strategy should be outlinking. You should link to other websites that are authorities in your field. One of the things that Yoast SEO, when you're creating your blog post, one of the things that Yoast SEO recommends is make sure you're linking to credible sources outside of your own website. It's one of the things that Google looks for to rank your website. It's one of the things that Bing looks for, Yahoo looks for to rank your website. They want you to link to outbound links. They want you to link to websites outside of your own website. Well, now, under the European Union, that's illegal. So, again, if you're a small business trying to use content to grow your marketing, all of a sudden you can't do that in the European Union. It becomes illegal. So all of these things, from the GDPR, from the European Advertising Standards Alliance, to this new upcoming Article 13, all of these things are, they're saying that they're there to protect the consumers. They're saying that they're there to protect business, but they're not. They're there to hamper business. They're there to destroy business. And that's the effect that they're going to be having. They make it harder for small businesses to compete, and they make it to where only the big giant fish are able to continue swimming in the ocean. And that's what regulation is all about. Regulation always makes it harder for small businesses to compete. And usually the big businesses, they don't mind regulation so much because they know, hey, we are able to comply with this crazy draconian regulation. our competition won't be able to. And so we don't have to worry about competition anymore. Instead of letting the marketplace eliminate their competition, they allow politicians to eliminate their competition. And here's the deal. Regulations like these ones, the majority of these regulations, they're written by politicians who don't even understand what they're regulating. They're written by people who don't even understand the technicalities of the market that they're writing rules for. They're writing rules for a game that they don't even understand. This became blatantly apparent during the recent hearings with Mark Zuckerberg in front of the American Congress when they were asking him, how does he monetize? And he's like, Senator, we sell ads. So much of that dog and pony show blatantly made it apparent that the majority of the people writing these rules in America have no idea how Facebook even works, how the internet even freaking works. So that's one end. You have regulations being written by people who don't understand the industries that they're regulating. And so the logical conclusion that people jump to is say, well, we can't leave it up to the politicians to write the rules because they don't even understand the industry. So let's have industry leaders come in and write the rules. And because at least they understand the industry. Well, what that leads to is something called regulatory capture. They get the most powerful people in the industry to come in and write the regulations because obviously they're going to be the ones that understand the industry the best. They're the most suited to write the rules. Well, now they have the right. Now they're a player in the game and they have the right to be a referee. What's going to happen if you're playing a game, if you're in a competition, and now all of a sudden, on top of being a player, you're also able to be a referee? Well, you're going to start writing rules that favor you and make it harder for other people to compete with you, which is what happens. That's what regulatory capture is. We need to figure out how to regulate the pharmaceutical industry. Who do we hire? We hire people from Big Pharma to come in and write the rules. What do the rules do? The rules make it harder for startups to compete. They make it almost impossible for anybody except for the established players to continue producing pharmaceuticals. And then we end up in a situation where there's only four or five pharmaceutical companies supplying all of the pharmaceuticals out there. Same thing with media. We have to regulate the media. We can't just have free speech. What's next? Cats and dogs sleeping together? So we have to regulate the media. Well, who's going to regulate the media? Well, obviously the politicians aren't smart enough to do it. So let's bring in the people that run the media and let them write the regulations for the media. And then what do we have? 100 years later of regulation on the media, we have four or five companies, Viacom, Disney, two or three other companies. And those companies are quickly being bought up by the other companies. Five companies now giving you 99% of all the media that you consume. That's what happens when you let the government regulate, and the government can't regulate, so they bring in the industries to regulate, and then those people write rules that favor them, eliminate their competition, and they end up monopolizing the marketplace. So no matter which way you slice it, government regulators are bad for small business. They're bad for competition. They're bad for the consumers. If there's not competition, if you're only able to get all of your media from five different sources, if you're only able to get all of your pharmaceuticals from one pharmaceutical company, if you're only able to get a ride to the supermarket from one taxi company, it's bad for the consumers. That's why things like Uber, that's why things like Lyft, that's why things like Airbnb have become so popular, because the monopoly that regulators have created for the taxi industries, the monopoly that regulators have created for the hotel and the motel industry have made it a bad option for consumers. So the market basically required the invention of other solutions to pop up. And now the regulators are going after them. Now the regulators are going after Uber. Now the regulators are going after Lyft. Now the regulators are going after Airbnb. So it's like a never-ending cycle where government regulators make it impossible for the consumer to get a good product. Somebody, an entrepreneur out there, a small business out there, a startup out there creates a viable solution. And the first thing that happens is the regulators start going after that person. And here's the deal. As soon as you allow an industry to be regulated. As soon as you allow what's bought and sold to be regulated, the first thing to be bought and sold will be the regulators. It's just the way that it works. And it's not the job of the government to even be picking winners and losers in the marketplace anyways. That's not what they're supposed to be there for, if you even believe that there's any legitimate reason for government to exist in the first place. I personally don't. So here's the deal. Where is all of this ultimately heading? I believe, and I'd be willing to bet the farm on this, I believe that where all of this is ultimately heading is they want a licensed-based internet. They want an internet where if you want to create anything on the internet, you have to have a license. You want to have a blog? You better get a license. You want to have a YouTube channel? You better get a license. You want to have a Facebook profile? You need a Facebook license. In order to search the internet, you're going to have a license. They're going to want to be able to search or track everything. Again, these people that say that they're passing the GDPR to respect your privacy, they don't give a shit about your privacy. They want to control every aspect of every information you're able to get, every information you're able to create. They want to be able to control that. That's where this is ultimately heading. You're going to need a license to create and consume anything on the internet. And if you don't believe me, just look at the media that's already out there. You have to have a license to create a newspaper. You have to have a license to have a TV station. You have to have a license to have a radio station. Blogs have circumvented that. YouTube has circumvented that. Podcasts have circumvented that. They don't allow the big media companies, they don't like the fact that anybody with a webcam and a microphone can compete with them. They don't like the fact that anybody with a blog and Hemingway app can compete with them. They don't like that. They're forced to follow the regulations. Why should the public not be forced to follow the same regulations? That's what this is all about. It's about bringing the public into the same regulatory field as the big corporations, because the big corporations are established players and they don't like the competition, and they don't, and the government doesn't like the competition either, because the government controls. The government says, yeah, you can have media, but we're going to control what you're allowed to say in the media. You're not allowed to paint this narrative. You have to paint this narrative. The government loves the fact that they can regulate mainstream media, and they hate the fact that they can't regulate alternative media, and they're not going to let it continue. Don't believe me. I mean, Europe is kind of the leader in this. Look at what they do already with TV. You have to have a license, not only to broadcast TV, but to actually receive TV broadcasts. You have to have a license to have a television in your house. You have to have a license to watch TV, not just to create it. So YouTube is right around the corner. That's the ultimate end game for all of this, is they want to be in control of making sure they control who is allowed to play the game, who's allowed to watch the game, who's allowed to... It's a control. That's what it all comes down to. Alternative media has allowed voices like Alex Jones, which I'm not a fan of Alex Jones, but the fact of the matter is I am a fan of free speech, no matter how kooky I think that free speech is. Joe Rogan has been promoted to the point that he's at because of it. All of these alternative, from the Young Turks to the opposite side of the spectrum with Steven Crowder and Ben Shapiro and Milo Yiannopoulos, all of these people have been allowed to compete with mainstream media because of the freedom that the internet allows. Businesses like eBay, Amazon allows you to compete with giant businesses like Walmart. Shopify allows you, the small business owner, the entrepreneur out there, the ability to compete with Walmart, the ability to compete with Sears. And what have we seen? We've seen Sears go bankrupt and out of business. We've seen Walmart take major hits in their profit. We've seen CNN and Fox News lose tons of viewership. Internet allows we the people to compete with the mega corporations out there, and they don't like it. And they're not going to let it stand. And, the EU is the EU, as they say that they're doing this to protect the consumers. The truth of the matter is all of this is to protect the people that have permission to play the game from competition from people like you and me who don't have permission to play the game. All of this is about state the amalgamation, the mix between socialism and capitalism, the mixed market, the mixed economy where the government allows certain players to play and makes you and me sit on the sidelines and only allowed to be spectators. That's what this is all about. And my only hope in all of this is that the EU fails. And it seems like that's going to be, it seems like the EU is falling apart right now. Hopefully the EU fails, socialism and central planning kills their experiment, and the rest of the West doesn't follow up by doubling down on their failed ideas. All right. My name is Nathan Frazier. If you haven't already, take a look at Article 13. Do a Google search for it. Do a YouTube search for it. Look and see what people are saying about this. And if you live in the European Union, please, before this takes down the very last small vestiges of small business in your area, stand up to your politicians and tell them, no, we don't want Article 13. All right, my name is Nathan Frazier. I'm the High Priest of Propaganda. If you enjoyed this, make sure that you subscribed. Make sure that you check out my podcast over at NathanFrazierShow.com. And do me a favor, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. All right, Nathan Frazier, High Priest of Propaganda. I'm out of here. Deuces. Okay, so Free Market Squad announcement. It's the 100th episode. I'm bringing back the Free Market Squad. It's going to be way different than it used to be before. In fact, now it's a members-only area, and there's going to be some hoops that you're going to have to jump through in order to get back into the Free Market Squad. So for those of you that don't know, the Free Market Squad used to be the online Facebook for us, the Free Market Squad. It would be where we would gather, help encourage each other, talk about marketing, talk about business, talk shit about communists and social justice warriors. And I'm going to bring it back. It's going to be all of those things plus more. So what's the plus more? As part of being a member of the Free Market Squad, now you will actually get training videos that won't be available anywhere else. I'm taking the two training videos that I recently did with Ben Settle and David Garfinkel. Ben Settle is widely known as the king of email marketing. Him and I just did a training video on how to do market research so that your sales copy practically writes itself. I also just did a training video with David Garfinkel on the $1 million sales letter. This is a sales letter that David's used, his clients have used. It's been used in a bunch of different industries. It's basically a template, piece by piece by piece, how to write a piece of sales copy, whether it's for a web page, whether it's for an email, whether it's for a direct mail piece that you send through the actual mail that gets physically delivered. It's a step-by-step how to write a sales letter template that David and I just recorded. It's been used, like I said, by multiple industries, and it's been used to pull in multi-millions of dollars for the businesses that have used it. And David went through piece by piece how to write a sales letter using this formula. That and the market training, the market research training with Ben Settle, training videos will be available to members of the Free Market Squad. And nowhere else. Actually, if you bought my soon-to-be $500 email marketing course, they're included as bonuses. But other than that, there's no other way to get these trainings. So those are going to be the first two trainings. Now, here's the deal. I have an upcoming training with Kevin Geary, who runs Six Figure Media. Kevin's going to be doing a training on SEO, how to use SEO copywriting for your content on your website to rank your website higher in search engines. Basically, organic free marketing right there if you have good content. And Kevin is the master at writing high-ranking SEO content. He's going to come on and he's going to do a free but an exclusive training for the Free Market Squad on how to use SEO best practices in your content to get more people to your website. I've also got a training coming up with Joe Schrieffer of Agora Financial. Joe runs one of the most successful financial companies in the world right now. I think they're in the top three as far as profitability goes. And Joe's going to be coming on to do a training. Tentatively, I think the training is going to be about the most common mistakes that newbie business owners make and how to avoid those. I'm not sure if that's what it's going to be. I've got a bunch of other trainings planned, including how to write sales funnels, including how to write webinars, including how to create opt-ins, a bunch of different stuff coming up. It's only going to be available for members of the Free Market Squad. So what is the Free Market Squad going to be now? Now that I'm bringing it back, it's going to be a little bit different. So initially, it's going to go back to being a Facebook group, but exclusive. It's only going to be a certain amount of people that are, the thing that I hated the most about the last Facebook group was that it got to the point where it was too popular and there was too many people in there. And I didn't like having such a big group. I like small, tight-knit communities. We got to the point where when it was like 300 people in there, I didn't like it. I didn't like it that big. I wanted it to go back to being smaller. So I cut it in half to like 150, and that was still not enough. So I cut it down to like, less than 100 people, and that was still too big of a group. So when I bring it back, I'm thinking about only making it like 10 people. I don't want 100 people in my Facebook group. So this is going to be like a 10 person Facebook group. You're going to get access to the trainings. You're going to get access to the Facebook group, but in order to keep it at only 10 people, I'm doing two things. There's two qualifiers. Number one, it's going to cost. You have to become a supporting member of the podcast, which means, or a paid member of the Free Market Squad, which means $45 to start, $45 a month. If you get in at the $45 a month level, it's going to stay that for the whole lifetime of your membership of the Free Market Squad. But to start, it's going to be $45 a month to be part. To be part of it, for that $45, you get to be part of the online community, which will start out as a Facebook group. I'm working on building a community off of Facebook because I really just don't like Facebook that much. For a variety of different reasons. But you'll get membership to that. You'll also get membership or access to the trainings, which will be exclusive. I mean, these trainings will be you and 9 or 10 other people will get to see these trainings. Nobody else will get to see these trainings. If I decide to grow the group past the initial 10 people, it's going to be $95. So the first 10 people that get in for $45 per month for the lifetime of their account. Anybody past that is going to pay $95, and anybody past that is only going to be allowed in by invite, which means either I have to invite them in or an existing member, one of the initial 10 members of the Free Market Squad will have to invite them in. It will not be a group where you can just pay to get in. It will not be a group where you can just join our Facebook group and now you're a member of the Free Market Squad. This is going to be a very exclusive group. The trainings that I'm bringing are going to be high value. I do not want them getting out to everybody out there. I want to give members of the Free Market Squad an exclusive advantage, a competitive edge that will not be available to all of the other people out there. The trainings that I want to bring to the community, I only want to be coming to a small group of people. The community itself, I only want it to be a small group of people. I got fed up of trying to manage a 300 member group. Even managing a 100 member group was too much for me. I only want the elite of the elite. I only want the very select people in there. So I might be sending out invitations to people within the next week or so. Once I've got everything set up, I've pretty much got it all 100% ready to go. I just need to do a couple minor tweaks, but like I said, it's going to be by invite only. I'm not going to announce how you can join the Free Market Squad because I'm only sending the invite out to maybe 10 people. I don't want this community being a big community. I do not want the trainings that I'm going to be making available going out to more than just a very small select group of people. And after that point, after the initial 10 people that join the Free Market Squad, anybody past that is going to end up paying more per month to be a member, and they're only going to be able to access it by being invited by one of the previous members. So that's the big news. Some of you don't give a shit. Some of you see the potential in this idea, and hopefully there's an overlap between the people that I invite in and the people that see the potential in this idea. All right. My name is Nathan Fraser. I am the High Priest of Propaganda. I really appreciate your time. I'll holler at you later. Deuces.